Hello.
Ah, oh, hooray.
Do you have call recorder?
I do have call recorder. I've been blessed by the Skype gods. Ecamm gods, I have no idea who makes any software anymore.
Okay. Never mind. Actually, that makes me think of something. You are blessed. Do you feel like maybe we should always begin the show with a prayer? Have you thought about that?
I don't like this joke.
Wow. I guess you really have strayed from the flock, haven't you?
Oh, wow.
Somebody threw the acorn pretty far from the tree.
We've talked about it a bit, but when you go to church or a Catholic mass, it really is like a test of how long have you been here? What are the updates? Like, it's a freaking hazing every time.
All right. How about, would it help if I, let me kneel. Ow. Fuck. Okay. I'm kneeling. Does that help?
I mean, it might be helping somebody, whoever else is in the room.
Stand up, kneel down, stand up, kneel down. We are the Catholic Church. A lot of rules. They get a drink. Can you imagine having a drink, what's left over in that wine glass? Can you imagine that?
I think about, well, yes, because I do imagine being an altar server.
And he has to gobble up all the bread.
Yep.
Leave no Christ behind. That's what they always say. That's the Marines say that.
Merlin, I had to do it a few times.
Well, you had to gobble the body.
I had to gobble the body and slurp the blood because.
Wait, were you an altar they?
Yeah. I remember in fact the announcement being made at our school that we have altar servers, not altar boys.
Oh,
altar
like a waitron.
Servers. Yes.
We don't say waiter or waitress.
We're no longer having categories for the gendered servers. Everyone's welcome at the altar.
Oh, but don't worry. Jesus knows. He knows. Sorry, they knows. Damn it. God. Less not on rectives. I thought I did such a good. I was so proud of myself. You came up a few times, and I nailed it. I know I nailed it at least twice. And I was listening back to a part this morning, and I was like, oh, God. I also blew it twice.
Wait,
so
what?
I'm going to start.
About my Catholicism? What?
Yeah, your Catholicism. No.
I don't know. No, I'm truly confused and now afraid, but I guess we will hear.
No, the pronouns. Here it is. This is not an apology nor an explanation, although it will serve as an apology and an explanation. The part of me that wants to be a better human being is fighting the pedantic English major.
Yeah,
in my brain, you know, it really is. It's like when Jerry's, you know, his brain and his penis, Seinfeld's brain and his penis are having an argument.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, except in this case, the penis is school. Wait, let me start over. The thing is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So if we did start with a prayer, would you want to conduct that? Would I just say amen or maybe hit some organ swells now and then?
Listen, I don't think I should have to say prayers, considering when I was in school, we had to, of course, rewrite passages of the Bible, but then we needed to change... God, this is so...
Rewrite or copy out?
Well, that's the thing. Is it rewriting? Is it rewriting or is it copying or is it lightly, like, plagiarizing and pull... What was the guy who did the... weird Bob Dylan quote. We had to write out passages from the Bible, but change the language to quote what fits the new millennium, as well as using gender neutral pronouns and keeping the correct grammar intact.
I'm sorry, Alex. Is this a fucking fever dream?
No.
What the fuck are you talking about? What, first of all, we got to come back to what Bob Dylan means.
Yep.
But you're saying when you were a youth in your Catholic parish. Yes?
My Catholic school, and this was in a religion class taught by a nun. A sister.
Thank you.
I will get emails from our Catholic listeners. I don't want to be a fake Catholic.
it's a koan. How many sisters are there? None.
Ooh.
What?
Well.
That was a stupid joke. Okay. All right. So they want you to copy out. You take this out. So you take a verse.
Yes.
And now you are expected to, there's a couple of things I'm hanging up on, and I do want to hear every cubic inch of this fucked up thing you're telling me. You had to go take a verse or probably a few verses from a chapter or from a book, and then you had to adapt those. You had to make a cool teen Bible version of that.
Yep.
And tell me about the pronouns.
We just had to use they, them pronouns. But in every single case, I mean, I don't want to speak for Ruth, but I'm pretty sure that Ruth didn't give a fuck about pronouns, and I'm pretty sure that she would have been okay. So that honestly built in this immediate resentment towards singular use pronouns, and just continued that cycle of internalized transphobia. But the point being that that was the most fucking ridiculous thing I've ever had to do in the name of lip service for social justice, that I'm just still blown away.
Okay. Oh, I see. This is part of the whole Catholic vroom vroom justice thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Okay.
No,
okay. This is like
not
a Dickersonian kind of thing.
Yeah. It was super weird. It was super weird. We all hated it.
This is like a good, this is like a good Christian thing.
This, no, I mean, this is bad. This is, okay. It's weird. We had like, it was basically, hey, everybody.
It was like social justice cosplay.
Yes. But also it kind of felt like a little bit of a dog whistle of like, if you don't do this, you're not woke enough in whatever woke was in 2009. Or I was worried that if I was too liberal with my translation, if you will, I would get in trouble because,
yeah.
I don't know, it's a friggin', you're like reporting to a friggin' priest. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I have to say that, like, to me, as a secular exercise, it sounds really interesting. Like at my totally very secular liberal arts school, there were some really good Bible classes, some of which I kind of like would not sit in on. But for example, my friend Michael, my best pal in college, was in a really good class called Reading the King James Version Aloud.
Oh, fluff.
Well, no, it was actually really cool. So it was put on by this really cool gay prof who was a humanities teacher. What did he teach? He taught mostly American and English lit, but he also spoke Greek. And so he was able to do things like read passages from, the New Testament, right? Old Testament's Hebrew, New Testament's Greek? Yeah. Spoke Aramaic, written in Greek, right? And so but he was able to read, and boy, it's like listening to poems in Italian. It's like, yo, this language was just made for this. It's just so beautiful to hear. And so like, you know, because it was that kind of weird school, there would be like evening events where you could go and like listen to your pals read passages from the King James Version aloud. Not because they were religious or spiritual people, but because it was really more aligned with the kind of poetry classes that you would take. So the exercise, to me, the exercise of taking a Bible passage and being given a challenge to how to like restate that is interesting because it's all a translation to begin with.
Right.
I don't know if you know this, Alex. A lot of people don't realize this.
Oh, they don't realize that.
Yes. Okay. So you go out on the street. Okay. Spoiler alert. I don't know the answer to this question. But you go out on the street and you ask the typical, you know, cross-bearing person who wrote Ruth. And they go, they're
Ruth
either going to say
Ruth,
they're going to say Ruth or God.
Yeah.
So God sat down. He got his little glasses down at the end of his nose, like Chuck Schumer. He took out his big quill pen and he says, and then, you know, he put in some Easter eggs. For example, do you know who judges Ruth? Joshua.
Like
7, 8, 9. That's a funny joke. And a pretty good Loud Love It album, Joshua Judges Ruth.
Don't know that reference.
Because that's the sequential three books. Keep up with me, Alexandra.
Yes, I know.
That's
no,
the sequential three books of the Bible. Now, why was not? Never mind. 7, 8, 9 is a funny kid joke.
It is a 7. 7, 8, 9 is a funny kid joke. It's already
okay,
happening.
Got that one. The sequinkle.
The sequinkle. That sounds like a nice. You know what? That was a nice word I meant to say, and I just happened to make it up. but I am constantly fascinated by the Bible because of its translation, kind of in the way that a lot of people, including myself, are just interested in the ways that Shakespeare is translated and interpreted, because Shakespeare's fucking funny, but it takes literally like an entire year of your life to sort of actually comprehend why it's so funny.
I always felt like I didn't learn this until well into college, and really I had a couple, well, I'm gonna say I had three pretty big weaknesses in my liberal arts education that were nobody's fault but my own. One was that I did not take a language, which is what I would have needed to get into Johns Hopkins. Like the guy I wrote my thesis about was at Johns Hopkins and was willing to help me get in there. But he's like, you don't have a language and you don't have any Shakespeare at all? I'm like, no, I had no Shakespeare. Of course, the third huge one is I took zero actual hard science or math.
Mm.
So bad on me for all of those things. But shout out to Mark Crispin Miller, good writer. You know, there's a thought that I've had. It's not a kind thought, but it's a thought. Like, so imagine that in the state of Illinois or California, in order to drive a car, you need to take a written test and a driving test. And then you have to pass those in order to get a license to legally drive. There have been moments in my life where I have thought that, this is an analogy, but there are people who are much more interested in how well you've memorized the manual you got at the DMV than you are a good driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The actual practice of driving in a safe, sound, defensive, cool, social, non-deadly way can fall so far down the list of priorities if all you're focused on is whether you stand in front of a church holding up a DMV driver's manual.
Mm-hmm.
The manual is just there to help you be a good driver. It's not there for you to hide behind. It's not there for you to quote. It's not there for you to use to criticize others. It's just it's a process you're going to pass through and return to as needed to be a good driver. It's not a perfect analogy, but like that's, you know, the good works are not going to get you in, but you know what else isn't going to get you in? Memorizing chapter 2 of the DMV book.
Right. And I had to take a written test and a driving test where you make circles around the parking lot and do a bunch of wild maneuvers that I haven't ever had to use in my life. What I mean, is there a term for when you back a car around a curb?
I think you might have been trained to be one of those high-end chauffeurs. Were you taught to do crazy driving to like protect a rich man?
Well, that's honestly, it felt like that. I'm like, when am I going to have to learn how to like, there's these tactical parking techniques that sort, I know you're supposed to put the wheels in towards the curb or whatever.
You cut the wheel whatever way. So imagine that everything that stopped your car from being in, the brakes didn't work, the parking brake didn't work. If it was just you, your car, and physics, would it run into the street or would it fall back on the curb?
Yeah. And I think that is an important concept to know, just the basics of physics.
In San Francisco, it's an extraordinarily important concept.
Yes.
Because A, there's a huge amount of parallel parking here, and B, I don't know if you've heard, but there are a fair number of hills.
Have I experienced them. Oof.
Are we still in the analogy? Or
yes.
Where are we at this point?
Hold on. Okay. We're still at the analogy, because when I had to do that, I should have failed my actual field driving test, as they called it, where I drove around a lovely old lady who was about 75, and I failed to turn in reverse around a corner within a perfect set of lines. The lines were also arbitrary. They were just like in a course. It wasn't like on the real on the streets, as they say.
Oh, you're like in Safety Town.
Yeah, basically. And so
half car, half boy.
Yeah. And at the end of it, she said, you know, and I knew this too. I was like, well, but failed it. And she says, you know, it's my last week working here. Are you going to drink and drive? And I said, no, ma'am, which I still think is the only time I've ever said no, ma'am, mm-hmm. in my life. She's like, all right, you're good. You've passed. And I don't know how many people have that experience. And I think I shouldn't be allowed on the road for many reasons, but that isn't one of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of like...
Believe me, lady, yeah. Me and drinking is the least of your worries.
Yeah, I was like...
Because it just smears the sky full of angry cockatiels right now. Jesus, take the wheel, literally. What was the other part? But, you know, I mean, we could really squeeze this analogy within an inch of its life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would be willing to guess that before the professionalization of driver's testing and certification, there were people who were able to conduct a vehicle in a way that was sensible in their community. Let me put it that way. So, like, if you're the kind of person who, in a more rural area, drove a tractor around, like, you knew how to safely drive a tractor down the road. Wait a minute, a tractor on the road? Well, yeah. Roads used to not be just for cars. Roads used to be, I mean, there was a time before automobiles where that's where people walked and that's where carts or vendors, you know, sold their wares. And certainly it's where a bunch of horses took a shit. But, you know, now road is for car.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to professionalize that. So all I'm trying to get at is, like, if you're somebody who grew up in Nevada in, say, the 30s, I bet you were pretty comfortable driving at a high rate of speed where you just didn't even see another car maybe for a few miles.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up in Manhattan, like a lot of people who grew up in Manhattan, you'd never learned how to drive a car because you didn't need to know how to drive a car, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm trying to get at is that there are all these regional and community differences in how to safely conduct a vehicle or not conduct a vehicle at all. And that all for many years, I'm guessing, existed in the absence of professional driver training. The point I'm trying to make is that once your interest becomes about enforcing the certification of new drivers, it becomes much more about passing my test than it is about spending the rest of your life not killing somebody or yourself with a car. And I think that's, to pivot back from the analogy, that's one thing that's a little troubling sometimes about, let's say, religion versus faith, which some mm-hmm. people find a ridiculously nuanced distinction. I do not. I think there's a big difference. I think that it's the difference between enjoying driving and being obsessed with manuals in some ways.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like if you found a way to conduct your vehicle in, now I sound like a libertarian, if you found a way to conduct your vehicle in your community in a way that's safe and everybody else is okay with, like, shouldn't that be all right? You know? Mm-hmm. That was about religion, Alex, just so you know.
I know it was.
That was about religion. I wasn't sure if it was clear.
I caught up.
No, not you. I'm talking past you. I'm looking over your shoulder like I'm trying to find someone more important at the party.
Oh God.
I'm talking. No, yeah. No, there's no one Checks more important. Listen, I got two on you right here. I'm just speaking to the listener because they may not have realized that was about religion.
I mean, I've always struggled with the concepts of both organized religion and faith because of the obvious reason of the gay.
Oh, you mean the fact that you weren't welcome?
The fact of being, you know, publicly and privately shamed constantly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, now I understand where the part about who you basically are as a human being should be hidden or destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right. I could see how that would be frustrating sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But there was always something written in very large letters at my high school I don't know if St. Francis wrote it. I would like to believe somebody smart did, at least. But it's just, preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. At least that's the translation I have seen everywhere.
That's really good.
And that is kind of my core guiding light, I guess, in terms of how I interpret and try to pick out the pieces of Catholicism and Christianity that still resonate with me, because I don't have a problem picking and choosing if other people can. Let me pick apart the ones that hint a little bit that Jesus was gay. Not that...
Mm-hmm.
Or, have you watched the most recent Queer Eye?
I've seen, latest one I saw was The Impossibly Beautiful Asian Pediatrician.
I have not seen that one, but the...
So what have I seen? I also saw... We've seen like three or four, yeah.
The one with the pastors hit home in a way that I did not expect, and I was expecting...
I'm really spacing which
the Queer Eye episode of this season 5. It's the very first one.
Oh, I must have seen it. Why am I spacing it? Okay, I'll find it.
Probably because it wasn't emotionally scarring
the one with the guy who a season or two ago who wanted to sing in a choir and like I don't know if he's like maybe not officially out. And remember they take him to the gay chorus.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so freaking good. I mean, you can just tell Bobby is getting just torn apart by all of these visits to churches. He might as well be wearing like a fireproof suit.
I don't know if that is a actual, that is a joke from this episode.
Like, oh really? Oh, sorry. So I probably have seen it. I might be blacking out. God damn it. Now I want to find it. Okay, keep talking about it. I'll find it.
It's just the very similar version of what happened in the previous episode of this guy gets to go sing amongst a bunch of other gay dudes.
Oh my God, the queer church, of course.
Oh yeah, and I think
yeah. It was like it's like this beautiful island of misfit toys. It's so cool. I love that guy. I got a lot. Listen. I'm not going to talk about it. We can talk about this on the after show. I got a lot of bones to pick with Tan this season. That's all I'm going to say about that right now.
Right? Hasn't he just... I think he's been a dick.
I think Tan has really lost... I think he's lost the story here in a lot of these outfits. I don't know if it's tie-ins.
He's lost the thread.
Or what it is, but it's like... My daughter was yelling at me because I was saying, that would he put that lady that beautiful lady doctor in? It looked like she was going to be in a Janet Jackson video.
Mm-hmm.
And she's this beautiful petite woman with some kind of mild body dysphoria. And like, she's empirically gorgeous. And she's like, I think my thighs are big. And it's like, oh God. As Michael would say, oh, sweetie. Like, she's so beautiful. But then Tan puts her in this outfit. I'm like, what the fuck is happening with that hemline?
Mm-hmm.
And my kid goes, what are you talking about? I said, sweetheart, don't interfere. You don't understand this yet. A hemline is a very special thing. You could take the most beautiful and shapely woman in the world. She could be 9 feet tall. If you put that hemline at the wrong place above her knee, she's going to look like a troll.
Yes.
You need to get that hemline right. You need to go higher, or you need to go lower, or you need to change the tailoring, you need to change the line and the silhouette. That is doing that lady zero favors.
And there is the whole aspect of, sure, it's on camera, but... that doesn't matter in the end. I don't think...
How do you mean?
The hemlines appear different in real life than they do behind any sort of camera. And I've learned this especially while listening to one of my favorite podcasts, You're Wrong About, as they go through the Jessica Simpson autobiography.
Oh, yeah. They're on the Bronco chase. They started the Bronco chase
I saw it
today.
This morning. God.
Oh, my God. I listened to it in the shower. Oh, my God.
Merlin, the worst part about my marriage right now is agreeing that both of us will wait and listen to the episodes together. And
you don't want to be disloyal.
I don't want to be disloyal. But then I found out that Matchy has been disloyal to me many times. And I'm like, you know what? We can heal from this process. But I don't know.
Really? You don't have a formal arrangement where that's okay?
Yeah, I should have had like a pre-pod.
You don't have a Bill and Hillary situation? I'll just look over here. I'll watch cable in the other room. You do your thing.
Yeah.
I want to return to this. I want to talk more about the Lord, but I want to come back to the Tan problem because you go back and you look at. I'm sorry. I'm gonna keep saying this. Best episode of this show, not arguably. I imprinted on S1E1 of this series so hard.
Yes.
You can't fix ugly. Now, I know there was exaggerations in that. You can tell that there are things. Maybe that guy's not perfect. Mm-hmm. But what they did with Tom was so transformative and appropriate. Mm-hmm. What they did to his little apartment was like so meaningful for what he had available to work with. What they did for his appearance and his clothes. He looked really cool. And he got to go to the car show with Abby. Mm-hmm. And of course,
they're still together. Oh.
That's the story. And also the guy who proposed on stage, supposedly they've double dated. Oh my God.
Oh God, it's so cute. Oh.
But we should come back to this. But we were talking to Emma, who, by the way, her pride flags did arrive. One in the window, one as a blanket. Even with the pride flag arriving tomorrow. We're very beflagged at our house.
Flags are flying, not for hanging. Sorry, that's my favorite. That's my favorite Bobby quote. I'm sorry.
Only they can call themselves flags. We were talking about something Emma didn't know, which is that for the entire time, my wife's youth-ish time in San Francisco. She moved to California in 89, moved to the city in 91. And her roommate and very best friend was a lesbian woman, like very, very butch. But, you know, the kind of butch where she's like, she's in a punk rock band. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, my wife was a bike person. She hung out with the bike people. And these are all bike people. And they go,
oh, did she have the cuffed
bike
leg?
Places. They got, she's got the bike lock so she can hit your window or whatever, and the whole nine. And like, you know, mm-hmm. they drink large beers on stoops and that kind of thing.
Where every backpack Kickstarter is like, you can hold your U-lock right here. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to put my camera there, guys.
You know what? We just get a hose and clean all of these people, including my wife. But anyway, her best friend was a lesbian. And I was like, hey, I don't think you ever knew that, did you? And like, she's like, yeah, but like, I was like, I only ever hung out with her once because they had sort of drifted apart as my wife became like a professional person, and not out of acrimony, but just because they went different ways. And she had a very long-term girlfriend that she still has today. But what I didn't know was that she had found God and became, I believe, a Presbyterian minister.
Mm-hmm.
This is a girl who's like 5'2", and every time she goes to a lesbian bar, they're like, well, who brought their son here? But now she has her own flock at a queer church.
Oh God, that's so.
Sometimes it goes the other way, is what I'm saying, Alex. It doesn't always go the one way. Sometimes it goes the other way.
There's a lot of great churches in Chicago that have been excommunicated from the Catholic Church, obviously, but
good.
Don't throw me in the fire. Get them out of there.
Here's one here across the street from a grocery store we go to. It's actually a giant purple church. It is a hilariously gay church, and but just looking, I mean, like, it's just so joyful, and I really do miss. I've said this before, and I don't want to make a scene about it, but there's a lot I really do miss. About the, the closest we are, we're called non-denominational Christians. So the closest would be Church of Christ, but like pretty, like the most vanilla kind of, mm-hmm. in a good way, kind of Protestant Christianity. And it was just a lot of people just being really kind to each other. And there's a lot of singing and there's a lot of eating. There's a lot of helping each other out. There's a lot of like, you better look at the bottom of the final page of the bulletin because that's going to tell you who needs a hospital visit. That's going to tell you who could use a covered dish. And when my dad died, I cannot even tell you how this entire building full of strangers collapsed on us with affection to try and make our life easier. Whether that was a potted plant or some green bean casserole or babysitting, strangers, total strangers, not doing it for any reason other than they wanted to help. You could even say, you could say it's because, quote unquote, it's because it's the right thing to do. I don't think that's what drove a lot of these people. I think a lot of these people had a mission of service that I don't know how much, it's sort of like, why do douchebags become biz dev people? Or is it that biz dev, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know like who created whom. I don't know if people arrived at that flavor of Christianity because of the kindness and works or vice versa, but it worked out really nice. And I really miss that.
I miss it almost every day, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had similar experiences with family members dying and other, you know, health stuff that happened when I was in grade school and high school that they Like, the church wasn't always super into hearing about mental illness or thinking that it was a real thing. That turned around pretty quickly.
When it became cover for other things.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just confused. But, let's send him to Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's another parish. Just, It'll be fine. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
It's probably the climate here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very humid and diddly here. We should send him somewhere else.
No, I mean, it's something I miss every day, because that was the quote unquote safe space where you could express how the discomforts you felt, the fears that you had, all without any expectation that you were a bad person. Asterisk.
asterisk, double dagger. Cross.
And
see after notes.
Yep. And you know, I honestly, a lot of my former teachers and my t-shirts came out and talked to me. Mm-hmm. They were in the closet too.
They're religious t-shirts.
A lot of my former t-shirts. Oh my God.
God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You
anyway.
See it here on my shirt. There are many. This is my t-shirt shirt is raising many questions. So, your t-shirts.
I think a lot of people are changing and it makes me happy, especially mm-hmm. the sizes of my t-shirts. Anyway, mm-hmm. this is the show.
All right. Before we get to the challenge, can I potentially introduce a new segment that I just realized should maybe be a segment?
Yes, please.
It's called Driving with Grandma.
Go on.
The new segment is called Driving with Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gerund, but it has the drive-in, no G. Driving with Grandma. Because
mm-hmm.
I realize how many short anecdotes, I have about being in an automobile with my grandmother.
Ah, yes.
Have I ever on this particular program told the story about the first time that pot affected me?
No. Please go on. Please wait. Is this the passing out? I mean, I know that you passed out, but I don't want the details.
Oh, no. The passing out is much later. That's from the eating.
Oh, please.
All right. I'll try to make this quick.
No. Take as long as
you
want.
Shall we savor it?
I'm going to take my espresso shot. Woo!
Welcome to Driving with Grandma, Chapter 1. We'll try and get some music for this. Driving with Grandma, Chapter 1. 1984, probably. The first time I had smoked pot was with my girlfriend and her best friend and boyfriend, who was a little bit of a bad apple, and he'd gotten us some of the marijuana.
Oh, bad boy.
And so we went to see Cheap Trick, and we smoked some of the marijuana. And mm-hmm. they, people who I guess everybody knows about marijuana now,
mm-hmm.
but it used to be it was understood, especially with some shitty Florida shake weed, that you know, how you were affected by it might vary. And in the conventional wisdom, even at the time, a lot of people would say, I think the conventional wisdom was, you know, the first time you smoke pot, the first time, probably nothing will happen, right?
Such bullshit.
Well, but here's the thing. So the three of them were having a great time, surrender. And I was like, it's made me cough, whatever. Mm-hmm. But at least mm-hmm. now I have smoked pot. I've, you know, crossed that particular Rubicon, and now I can consider myself a proper teenage reprobate.
Good.
And then, so we had acquired some more of this because my girlfriend liked it. It made her fun and silly, and she liked it. And sometimes after school, we would have a little bit of marijuana. But at home, in a safe way. And so this went on for a while, and we'd occasionally have the marijuana. And I had, I guess, in the period of a few weeks, and we weren't doing it more than like probably once a week, but I had gotten to where I'd just fallen into the habit of, this is a thing I do with her that's fun for her, and it makes me feel kind of cool, to be honest. And I can tell you very specifically that this was a Friday afternoon. I know it was a Friday afternoon. It's so important that it was a Friday afternoon. And yes, there is a fives about this. I had some of that marijuana at probably like 3.
Oh, no.
And I kind of lost my mind a little bit. I mean, basically, I started hallucinating and had no sense of what was actually happening. And I knew that it was bad. Now, you young people may not remember this, but it used to be when you went to the chain restaurant Denny's as a child, they give you a kid's menu. Mm-hmm. And the kid's menu could be turned into a mask that you could wear. And it was a really cute, fun thing you could do with your menu after you ordered your, you know, eggs over a hammy or whatever. Mm-hmm. I looked at my girlfriend, and she looked like a Denny's menu mask of Elizabeth Taylor. My girlfriend looked like a cardboard punch-out mask of the late Elizabeth Taylor. And I said, ooh, I think something. Yeah, you know, like, there's all that classic, like, do you feel anything? Do you feel anything? Like when you're taking drugs and you go like, oh, do you feel anything? Like, I think I might feel something. I'm not sure. I felt something, Alexandra. I felt pretty wrecked.
And not in a good way?
No. Well, this was the beginning of many years of me probably having a stronger effect from this thing than it should. But, you know, who knows why? Moments snap together like magnets. Point is, my girlfriend was a Denny's mask. Now, you ask yourself, how would you possibly remember that this was a Friday? I can tell you, because I had to go to work as a busboy at a steakhouse where I would be carrying 40-pound trays of precarious dishes. Now, the tricky part is I don't know how I got to work that day, but I got to work at 4:30. No. And I'm doing that thing where like I'm like, oh, thank you, Wall. Thank you, Wall. Wall is tall. Wall will let my hand. Hand will go on Wall. And Wall, hole in Wall is door. I go through hole in Wall. A bow tie. I wear a bow tie. Oh, I am at work. And so I started the business. You know, I started bringing out the water glasses. I'm being very, very careful about everything I'm doing because I'm crazy fucking high. And so I would bring out the glasses. I was wrapping up silverware. I'm getting all the, I'm switching over from lunchtime table settings to dinnertime table settings and all the things that I have to do. And I increasingly am feeling, at this point, it's been probably an hour or an hour. I couldn't tell you how long. See, also, I don't know how I got to work. But I do know that I felt reality slipping away from me. And so I grabbed Wall and pulled Wall, and I pulled toward phone. And I had a phone call with my mother, who was at work. And I said,
I think I'm sick. I don't. Can you come? Can you come get me?
Mommy.
And she's like, Mommy. Mommy, please. Mommy, Wall, please. Wallace friend, but need mom. And she said, well, no, I'm at work. I can't leave here until like whatever, 5:30 or 6 or whatever. I said, do you want me to have grandma come get you? And I was like,
yes.
And I said, hey, boss, you know, I'm not feeling so good. I apologize. I got to clock out and go. And I went and I waited outside. I should mention at this point, in her later years, this is not funny, before her death from Alzheimer's, she had a very, very long and relatively, like, at first slow journey to dementia. But she was still conducting herself. She, as you'll hear in future episodes of Driving with Grandma, she would sometimes just show up at the house with a new dent and say the stop sign wasn't big enough and stuff like that. So what I do remember is that she pulled up and she had a Kleenex stuck up her nose because she had a horrible, horrible nosebleed. I don't know why she had a nosebleed, but I'm pretty sure that was real. I got in the car and I was like, hey, Grandma, thanks for giving me, I appreciate it. And my grandmother, who was a very garrulous and talkative, very sweet lady, she's talking and talking. That's what it sounded like. I'm just sitting there trying to figure out what a seatbelt is. And so I don't know how familiar you are with the geography of the Sun Coast of Florida, but you have these main arterials, usually north, south, east, west roads. You got, but a big one where I lived was US 19.
So wait, this is the like big straight on road where there's very few.
Yeah, you like any community in Florida. So you might know 41, for example, right?
Okay, yes.
So like 41, 19, in our case, like 54, any of those. But it'll be like, it tends to, these communities tend to grow around a state or U.S. quote-unquote highway, which is really just a giant, like, 8-lane road with strip yep. malls mm-hmm. and Arby's and stuff. Mm-hmm. We get up to not a light, but a stop sign, and my grandmother turned left, meaning she was now driving northbound in the southbound lane of a U.S. highway.
Oh no! Just tell me, does this story end with her getting hurt?
You're not in trouble.
Okay, go on.
I'll cut to the chase. I've gotten the most, and I'm going, ha, 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 having a little ad hoc improvisational song about the end of my life. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm trying to remember exactly what her exaltation was. Yes, she was a woman of the Lord. I think it was, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, Jesus, and screech. She has the presence of mind to do a left turn off into the shoulder. You know, in a big puff of smoke. And apparently I eventually did make it home from that. But that was the day that pot took.
Well, real quick question. Yes. Do you think it took or that you weren't smoking it correctly? I know that sounds really dubious, but...
No, I mean, it was all... I mean, let me go further and say I was probably smoking it wrong the whole time. But just for whatever mm-hmm. reason, that's when it hit me. And... Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they always say, there's only two doses of drugs, you know, not enough and too much.
I have never heard that, Anna.
You're kidding me.
No.
They practically printed that on the new college flag.
There was a saying at my school, in your body, not on you, when you return to the dorms or into the classroom. So,
what? No. Wait. In your body, not on you.
In you, not on you. As in, we don't care the drugs you take. We have them on the premises.
Oh, it's the opposite of cool mom.
Yep.
You can do it anywhere you want as long as it's not in my house.
Yep. I'm not a cool RA. I don't care. You know what? You can.
I was the worst RA. I'm in like the RA Hall of Shame. I was so bad.
You were in the RA? Oh, okay. I know we're losing the thread. God, I have so many questions. But
I was an RA at New College.
Still.
I mean,
you
like,
were.
It's like
you
it's
were
like
a cop.
Being a prison guard in a children's
yep.
game.
You were a child cop.
No, I gave out light bulbs, toilet paper, and condoms, and I. Mostly slept in the room of my girlfriend, who was also an RA, and I was really bad. Also, I knew where the master key was.
Oh,
so I dubbed the master key, and we were able to get into the maintenance tunnels under the dorms. So
oh,
sometimes
shit.
When we'd all had some drinks or whatnot, your friendly RA from second court would say, hey, what do you say we all go down in the tunnels? These big, you know, like sort of like imagine you're in Kansas escaping a tornado. Uh-huh. Those giant, but like corrugated metal doors. You open them up, and mm-hmm. it opens up into this entire. It's like going to see Desmond, you know, down in the tunnel.
I'm kind of picturing the Disney tunnels, but if they had been abandoned like for 100 years, and that's what you're going into.
I'll try to find photos. They really were. So okay. So long story short, the dorms were designed by I.M. Pei. The guy who did the pyramid at the Louvre and lots of stuff.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, they're called the Pei dorms, PEI. And so they're brutalist 1960s buildings that are super ugly. But also his choice of materials and construction, it was bananas. So as an RA, I worked for the director of housing, who in turn worked for the director of student affairs. A hilarious guy named Pete Fazio. And Pete was always like, ugh, God, I can't believe this guy. Like the doors were these amazing like metal frames with a translucent, like beautiful panel inside of it. These amazing handles and locks. And I think they each came from a different country. Like the handles had to come from Germany. The door replacements, and that's all bespoke. None of this is like off the rack stuff. all of the HVAC stuff was impossibly difficult to fix because of the way he had engineered all of these buildings. But yeah, so they had these service, I would call it a service tunnel or service area underneath the dorms. And they were like solid enough that you could walk around without fear of death. I mean, it wasn't like a mine, but it was also sort of rustic enough to feel like kind of wild and crazy, like you might find a pirate skeleton down there or something.
That would be fucking
thank you for joining us for this week's segment of Driving with Grandma.
Driving with Grandma. And you know what? For whatever we do next week, I have quite a few Driving with Grandma stories.
I'm so into this.
Yeah. I am very, I still am incredibly close with my grandma and grandpa on my mom's side.
So nice.
They're the ones who made me a Polish Yeti, so I gotta.
You mean like for your birthday?
No, I mean, you've met me.
Oh, they caused you to be a Polish Yeti.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean.
Polish Yeti. Polish Yeti's a family name. They changed it.
Yes, yes, we take it, we took Kaminsky.
Hey, it's Alexander Polish Yeti.
Yep, yep. God.
Why are you not laughing? That's funny. I'm writing it down.
Because it hurts, Marilyn. It hurts.
What? What hurts?
No,
laughing?
No, no.
Does anybody remember laughter?
Oh, everyone remember how all of the men in my family can't grow beards, but all of the women are just covered with hair ever? Everywhere. Oh,
you guys, you're so woke as a family.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. My male identified brother. Sorry. I'm
what is happening right now? What is happening? What are you drinking today? What are you drinking?
Oh, would you like a bulleted list? I have.
I suppose I will. Yes.
Yeah. I have a plain Dasani water. What else?
Dasani.
Yes, shit, I know. Dog. I'm sorry, Tiff. I know. What's Tiff drinking today?
Tastes like it's filtered through a raccoon.
I you know what? I think I'm in.
You know, you should like what you like. I apologize.
Yes.
I'm trying to grow as a person, Alex.
You know what? People mess up with pronouns, and I am okay with this. However, respect my right to like the airport water because
thank you.
but I got a Dasani here.
I'm a Dasani girl.
I'm a Dasani with the filled with the noon dissolvable sports and caffeine supplement.
Oh my god, that was words. Those were words. Sports noon dis.
Noon is the name of the product.
Not the time.
And
it's not Noom. It helps you develop better habits. It's Noon.
It's N-U-U-N. And I think
noon.
I've been told it's none.
Like from the Dutch.
Yeah. I exactly.
I think it's called Sister.
I can tell that it's a play on something, but I don't know.
Yeah, they say Sister.
Killing
now.
Me.
Like, yeah, Sister Noon too. So. You get this dissolvable noon drink.
Yep.
In your raccoon water.
I've got it looks like piss water. I have a now empty shot glass of espresso because I don't know I own shot glass or like real espresso glasses. I just the amount of espresso just happens to fit in shot glasses, and I thought I was gonna.
I think that's cool. I like to drink wine like that out of like a little glass. I feel like an old Italian man. It feels cool.
I just was like, well, I guess I'm not going to Marie Kondo all of these shot glasses from college because they have this great utility now. Mm-hmm. And then I have an open Diet Coke and a Diet Coke for a backup. Oh, and a Smart Water underneath the, that's like my emergency reserve, though. Like it's one of those 1 liter ones that's, you know, just in case.
I imagine you're like, is it Shiva? Is Shiva the god with all the arms?
I
just imagine like,
oh, yes. Yes.
Like Octo Alex.
Yes. Yes.
Get in my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a Polish Yeti. All right. Challenge.
Challenge.
Challenge this week was mine?
I think so. Yes. Yes, it was.
The challenge this week was to get and play with Lumi Cube Lights, which Alexandra introduced me to less than 2 weeks ago, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you please describe these donguses to our listeners?
These little dongai are small cubes that, when you look at them, you would think that's a weird way to make a flashlight. But what it is...
Or like that's a slightly oversized fidget cube.
Yep. It looks like a big old fidget cube, but with a big hole. And that's where the light is.
That's so sweet. The light at the end of the hole.
That's the guiding light at the end of the cube. And it was initially designed to just put on top of a DSLR to fit in the shoe mount so that you could have something that was better than a photographic... photographic, what the fuck?
Like a strobe flash.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it feels like, so we know this is a Kickstarter. It started as a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It was very initially, from what I can gather from their materials, it was initially focused especially on GoPros, right?
I haven't seen that.
Well, GoPro has its own button in the app, for example.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was initially for that.
But it's also, they're waterproof. They're rugged and waterproof, supposedly. I'm not going to test that.
I did.
And the notion is you get these little, small, lightweight lights that you can deploy. Isn't that a clever pivot, though, to go from this could be a replacement for your strobe flash to like this could be an ad hoc lighting system for a small studio?
Yes.
It's a pretty great pivot.
I have a lot of new feelings about it. Not all positive.
Me too. Well, first, let's get some more F's and B's out. To their credit, in the right, boy, there's talk about asterisks and daggers and crosses. In the right setting, boy, these things are so great. There is an app that I imagine we'll talk about. One of my favorite features of these is that if you get the big set, like the second time I bought more of these, I got a big set because I wanted all of the filters and gels.
How many do you have right now? Actual cubes. Okay.
Cubes. Cool. I have four. I have four cubes. And I have, what's that thing? Never mind. We'll come back to this. So basically, on the front of the cube where the light comes out are four tiny little magnets. And you say to yourself, well, what could that be for? Well, this is the coolest thing. It comes with all of these filters. So if you imagine, if you've ever seen a photo slide from the old days, approximately two-thirds the size of... What?
What do you consider to be the old days?
Well, I don't know if people... When people say slideshow now, they think of a PowerPoint demonstration.
True. Fair. Yeah,
it's not, you know, the carousel. It's a time machine. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, but each one of these, I'm not describing this well. So on the front of that,
it's hard because of the problems that. Okay, go ahead.
There are gels and there are filters that you can attach to this camera that just snap on real easy with the magnets. And it's really cool. So, what are some here?
Well, I'm going to be the actually reply guy right now. The difference between gels and filters, if people aren't sure, basically gel changes the temperature of the, or the color of the light, whereas a filter can usually change just the temperature or basically how many lumens you have.
Yeah, I don't know the technical terms, but there are a bunch that do things like diffusion and warmth. There are some that expressly change color. I'm not sure why you want a CMY color filters, but they have
high.
But if you're high, they also have, like I say, diffusion. They also have, what was these really cool, like hexagonal pattern ones. They also have one that will focus the light into a small circle that you can direct if you want a circle of light. They also have, I don't know what it's called, Alex, but the old timey movie light thing with the little hinges that can help you direct the light to only be in a certain area. You know, on each of the four sides, it has a hinged flap.
Yeah, I really wish it would work. It's a great idea.
And now here's the neat part. I want to get the good F's and B's out because we will be discussing my very useful FaceTime call with consulting producer Todd Vizier yesterday. Here's the neat part, though, is you can do more than one. So, like, mm-hmm. and they also have one that's this really cool, like a bubble. It's like a half, what is that shape? A sphere? Half of a sphere that, like, diffuses the light more. So you can stack these. You can do multiples of these if you want to try and get a certain effect. So before we, I cannot tell you how my opinion about these things has changed in 1 week through no fault of their own. Through no fault of their own. Well, so have we set this up correctly? These things are cool and they're clever. I could definitely see the use. I have a lot of little nits to pick. I think the form factor of the way the bottom where the screw-in part goes, there are very few things that fit well if you're mounting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so you got like the little whatever it is, quarter inch, one of the classic, screw-in mount that you would use with a tripod.
Yeah.
And none of the apparatuses that I've used on there, because I'm not using what the one that you slide in, is that a shoe mount, the sliding kind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've been using just straight mounts, like the mounts that come on. Didn't sound good. The mounts that arrive with
I prefer missionary mounts, but okay, go on.
All right. Oh, so you're a Mormon, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they just change the outfits. McKay Coppin says they're changing the outfits you can wear when you do your mission.
Oh, breaking.
Did you know that?
Excited. No news. No. Cool.
And so the point being, yeah, like I that's frustrating. Like the little tiny screw-in for my Gorillapod, there's no easy way to make that fit. I've got the Gorillapod 3K and the little Mountie Boy for that little tapered Mountie Boy. There's no way to get it like either quite flush or it's kind of a wreck. But anyway, hey, you know, thumbs up for a cool idea, but let's talk turkey. Alexandra, tell me about your Lumi Cube lights.
First, the things that I don't know if it's their fault or not. I ordered this in a rush for a previous challenge to get something from B&H. It was back ordered, but I went with, you know, a certified provider to get it within 2 days. And you brought to my attention that you couldn't charge it with anything except the
what I had said was, I feel like I'm losing my goddamn mind because if I use my really crappy commodity Chinese Hydra multi-headed charging beast with a really crappy adapter, it works fine to charge. But if I use any of my Apple USB-C big boy chargers with an official Apple USB-C, it doesn't do anything. I tried it with four different ones, and in each case, and I think I just texted you to say, am I losing my mind? Because I don't know why the Apple ones don't work. My guess was, my reckon was, it's a safety issue where if the wattage is too high, it's not going to allow it because of safety reasons, was my guess. But you had not been able at that point to verify or exclude that.
I tried this with so many freaking USB-C cables.
You're kidding me. So you got it? It happened to you too?
Well, oh God.
Oh, Alex, I'm so relieved that you had a problem. Thank you.
Not only that, God damn. Well, first of all, I have since lost the original USB-C charger they sent along in the box. and that's on me.
They give you two lights, two cords, and I think you bring your own dongus.
Yes. Which again, that's the thing. If you're bringing your own charging brick, shouldn't there be some documentation of, hey...
Oh, that's a really good point. I could not find, Alex, I went. I looked at their all caps, their really all caps FAQs, and I couldn't find anything about it except to say USB-C is how you make the charge.
Yeah, and I tried USB-C to USB-C, which USB-C to USB-A, tried Thunderbolt, basic ass USB-C.
I bought shit those shittiest little tiny Apple ones, the very old school ones from Prime. I got two of those little boys, and A to C did work with a very underpowered charge brick charge thing for me. Didn't work for you?
I am kind of paranoid about voltage issues because I'm in hotels so often and I don't want to bring a, you know, surge protector everywhere. So I pretty much just always use whatever the closest to the 30 watt one is for Apple laptops.
The one that comes with like an iPad Pro?
No, that's 18 watts.
Okay.
The slightly bigger one that comes with the 13-inch MacBook Pros is like my standby. But with this one, nothing worked. I have mostly Apple cables, but I also really trust Anchor, honestly.
I've had great luck with Anchor.
Yeah, and those are those were my USB A to USB-C ones that I tried out. I tried every charging brick, including like the crappy ones from old cell phones that I have a box of things to like donate. I don't know who wants these shitty charger bricks, but I feel like somebody will. And I've got the box of like, okay, these will power like an iPhone and an Android or any sort of cell phone fine, but like get these out of here. And I tried 7 of them. And at that point I gave up. And then my second cube arrived. That one didn't have magnets that worked. It just didn't turn on.
You're blowing my mind. I thought I was a crazy person because I could not for the life. I was still trying to figure out how all of this works. The documentation was not terrific. But I could tell in the first kit that I got, I did get, I think, Diffusion 1, 2 of Diffusion 1 or whatever it was. And it said that it came with 2 of warm. And I never saw those. I was like, did I just drop these? Did these fall on the couch? So now I'm wondering if they just didn't include it in mine.
Yeah. And I was a ding-a-ling who threw away the initial packaging that I got with the first one because it worked great until it needed to be charged again. So now I have to.
It's like people who buy a new Cadillac whenever the ashtrays are full.
Yep. And I was just kind of like, well, I don't know whose fault this is. I don't know if it's B&H.
I always blame myself.
Exactly. I'm like, there must be something missing. You know.
I'm the only common problem in all of these problems.
My childhood priest texted B&H and was like, listen, just so you know.
I'd like to speak to you for a moment about my old altar day. Okay, all right. Sounds like you're just warming up. All right.
I mean, lighting itself has always been the most difficult part of filmmaking for me.
You're the third person to say that to me who does this professionally.
Yeah.
And especially Todd said the same thing. Todd was like, there's so many factors to getting this right.
Yes. And he has to, he has to deal with so much because he's dealing with real light as well as fake light. And I mean, wow. And when you're working on documentaries, especially when you're in the field, you are dealing with natural light as well as possibly lighting you've brought along. And, you know, you always want that eye light and that hairline. I guess I should say eye light is the stupid fancy term for making people not look dead on camera so that there's like a little glint in their eyes.
I tried to, you texted me about this and an app that you and Quinn like, and
I can't find it anymore.
At least 4 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck you were talking about. I was trying to use your actual words, which might have been my first mistake.
Yes, definitely.
But I'm searching for eye light color temperature app, and all I found is a bunch of really shitty looking old light meter apps. Will you find the app you were talking about for notes, please?
No, I can't. I reached out to Quinn and I was mistaken. The thing that he was using is something that measures the distance of your eyes to calibrate VR stuff.
Quinn, our producer?
No, I'm sorry. Quinn 2, Snazzy Labs Quinn, who's a fantastic YouTuber.
Oh, I thought I just got another pronoun wrong. Shit.
No. Gotta keep up there.
Can you get me on like a listserv or a major domo or something? Could you get me some push notifications? Some gender push notifications?
Oh, man.
I now identify as timey-wimey.
I'm sorry, Quinn number one. I've got...
Welcome to my fourth gender reveal party this month.
Oh, God. But I
okay,
mean...
Okay, okay, okay. That's cool. I don't know that phrase. I like it. And that's... So I've been looking at 3.0...
Oh, I'm surprised.
Oh, I'm surprised.
No. Only because that's like really important, in my opinion.
Well, here's what I know. What I know is 3-point lighting. And I found a couple good actual tutorials, including some really good YouTube videos. The spoiler alert here is that I am so constrained by the space available to me in my current setting that I would need to change a lot for that to be possible. But the basic, the 3-point lighting, as I understand it, is over here on your one side, you're going to want a key light that's about 45 degrees off axis and about 45 degrees down at you. That's the main source of light. Over here at a complementary angle, you have a fill light that's going to fill in the shadows, not the shadows behind you. Those are impossible to get rid of because of your tiny area. But the shadows of your face, you get to make a dramatic effect. You can get a hair light behind you that provides definition against a background. And then, I mean, there's just, and some of these tutorials are really good. Even if you're not interested in doing this for yourself, learning how that effect of 3-point lighting, it's one of the things, I guess, like the 180 degree rule, where like once you know it, you're like, oh, it's really interesting to see how people, what they do with that.
Right. It doesn't make it easier, but it makes it easier to understand.
Well, if you can find me anything about eye lighting, I would appreciate that. I can look it up. It's just eye lighting is what it, what it's called. Eye light.
Yeah. Just eye lighting camera.
Catch light is a light source that causes a specular highlight in a subject's eye in an image. Whoa, I've never heard of this. Catch light.
Damn. Yeah, neither have I. Well, this is also like the time someone talked to me about what I thought were called lever, I don't know what the slidey things on a mixer. Apparently they're called pots to people in the industry.
Oh, like you mean like a tourney or a slidey?
A slidey.
Slidey's a fader. Attorney, lawyer. What? No, like on a guitar, it's usually called a pot. A potentiometer?
Yeah, what the fuck? But that's also what I thought sliders were. This guy from BEZ.
There's no middle sliders, Alex.
No middle sliders.
There's only Zool.
There's a lot of sliders. It can't keep up.
Sliders are also small burgers, but they have nothing to do with your eyes.
Oh,
unless your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Just my butt. Whoo.
Am I right? Okay.
Oh, boy.
So... I have been asking anybody who will listen, please help me. I've tried to help myself. I'm just as God made me, sir. I've been looking for solutions because everybody's like, well, why do you care about this shit? Well, okay, so you look nice today. Let me make this very, very short. The whole reason we had the second show with a different name was we wanted to give ourselves runway to do something different. Now, at first, we did something not different at all. We did the same show. That's what we knew how to do. Then that kind of became like, well, maybe we'll do some of the Zoom stuff and see how that goes. And so far, that's been going pretty well.
You might say that some podcasts are going to grow and change. I don't know. Sorry.
You
go
could,
on.
You could say that. Yep. You could say that. You better say that. And so where we got to, though, was, you know, the last two that we did with the Zoom that we published, we published, I think, two of those. We had a couple we threw out. But... how that turned out was like, yeah, I thought that turned out good. Like the Ring Light Parade was, I thought, a fun, for being what it was and unedited, I thought it was pretty funny. And so I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know that A, we all need to look way better on Zoom. No, especially me and to an extent Scott. Adam's got a pretty good setup there because he's Adam. But like we should look the same.
Can we buy Scott a new microphone? Like I will help with that. But
he still uses his Rode, right?
Sound-wise,
you don't like the sound?
Oh no, I
can never hear the difference in these things.
Well, it's weird because I really don't have great hearing, which is or eyesight. Wow, I've picked a great profession.
You sure did. But at least you're good with your hands and tying up them cables.
I mean, I've been told. But the... I'm sorry. The reason that... Or the reason I get hung up on lighting isn't even necessarily because I want things to look good.
Is this about Scott's mic?
This is about Scott's, this is about video in general.
Okay, because I want to finish the thing, but go ahead.
Yes. So what I really appreciate about what you guys are doing is you're trying to look better, but at least how I've been interpreting it is you don't want to make your lighting or your sound or anything that appears on screen to distract from the show. And that's what is always most important to me about lighting. And I don't think most people are going to notice that Scott uses a Rode podcaster from a decade ago.
That was my original. Well, okay, so this is where it gets complicated and weird. Like, so what is my motivation? I'm asking myself aloud. Mm-hmm. What is my motivation for spending all of this time and money? I spent a lot of time and a lot of money on getting a setup that will let me do better video. And there's lots of reasons. One is I have a feeling video is not going to be going away anytime soon. That there will be more occasions. I mean, if I had my druthers, we'd lock way the fuck back down right this second. Don't get me started.
Agreed.
But I do feel like the video is here in ways that it was not in, say, January or February, and we need to... We need to not just be using our Max camera from now on because it's not really, it's not good. It really, I think part of what makes this also tiresome is everybody, the connections suck. People's video looks bad. And when you see people, you can see already when you see people doing hits, when they're doing their bits for like MSNBC or CNN, you can see some people have gotten much better setups. But anyway, so why do this? Well, I want to get better. I want my video to be better if possible. If we keep doing the Zoom call version of California King, such as it is, I would prefer that we look the same and pretty good. But then this is not a commitment. It's more of a, I guess, a teaser is like, I don't know if you know this, but one of the guys on our show is a really talented filmmaker.
You don't say.
Had it ever occurred to me that we could be making funny movies? It had not.
Wait, really?
Think about it. If I got my shit tight, like what could we do with three guys remotely shooting footage that becomes a funny short movie?
I think about that. Oh man, this has actually got to be like in the after show. All right, I don't want to distract from this. I'm sorry, but our Quinn number one, our editor, and I were talking about this quite a bit yesterday, and I completely agree with you, and I'm really glad. The idea of there are very interesting things that you can make remotely. And I initially hated doing video podcast stuff, but also I realized I didn't hate it.
I hate video podcast stuff insofar as it harms the audio thing. I still have concerns about that with You Look Nice Today. I feel like we need to go kind of all in on one or the other.
And there's RSS.
It was disappointing to me when, to be honest, to be candid, I enjoyed doing MacBreak Weekly, but when that became, at first it was just let's watch each other on video, and it very quickly became actually this could be a video show. And that's when I really lost interest because I wanted to make a great audio show. And I still think for myself, I'm broken inside. I make a better audio show if I can't see the other person. Because I don't even want to be able to refer to something in frame. I want the experience of the listener. I do feel like I'm kind of a purist in this way. I want the experience of the listener to be not dissimilar from my experience of being the person who's participating in the talking, which is, I don't know what's going to happen next. And it's all diegetic. I don't know. It's like whatever's in the show is in the show. Whatever's not in the show has never been in the show. And like when you're having jokes about what, you know, somebody holding up a tampon or something, that's rough for the people who want to be immersed in a totally first order audio experience. But if we were able to make, I'm not saying we will, but if we had the technical faculties to do things a la The Noises Rest, which I still think, as silly as it was, turned out pretty good. Doing stuff like that, that would make me happy and be a good project.
Yeah.
So that's why. And then finally, I just want to know how to do this stuff. I like learning new things.
Yeah.
Very few projects are more fun for me than one where I do have a goal. I have an outcome that is needed in the real world of my life or career, such as it is. I just feel the need to add that. But I also get to learn a new thing, which is why Descript was like a four quadrant big titted hit for me. It's like, mm-hmm. it's a delight to use. It's mm-hmm. fun to learn. And I use it for my job now. It's what I exclusively use for Roderick on the Line. And it's made it so much more fun for me.
You don't even import into Logic or GarageBand. You just export straight from Discord? Or sorry, not Discord. Good Lord. Descript?
Yeah. So basically, oh, wow. because of the way we record, cool. I go into Ecamm, split the tracks, drop them in. I even record my ad spots right in Descript. And then all those are in there. I just dupe the file every week. So all my assets are in there. And then it's just drag and drop. And now that, for example, oh God, did you see what they added, I think yesterday?
Yes, I haven't tried it out. I'm so behind on Descript.
It works. Search for silences of greater than N seconds and take them out.
Oh.
As well as that alongside filler words? Holy mm-hmm. shit. So anyway, I'm sorry, that was really long, but ultimately I'm learning it because I want to learn it. Mm-hmm. And I want to learn the right way to do it. But I also want to be able to do it within the constraints of my office in a way that's not disruptive to the other stuff I do. So I don't want to have to build a second location to do all of this. And I want to be able to continue to use a good mic. So I'll tell you, if you want to hear more, I'll tell you more about the Todd experience because it was very funny. But tell me more about what you've been doing with them.
The lights? Well, they don't work. Nothing.
Oh, because no charge.
Yeah, I've ordered a backdrop. I haven't ordered a backdrop, but that is something I need to figure out, or I need to be kind of one of those douches who makes the like background look YouTube-y and like, here's my books and yeah. this is my office, even
here's
though it's in the corner of my bedroom, which is fine. But I, you know, I don't want a bunch of stuffed animals of Pokemon behind me mm-hmm. when I'm on a call.
Well, you know, in that case, we should probably dip soon because it's running long. But let me tell you what Todd said to me because it was really impressive. You know how Todd's really, really nice, like too nice?
Yes.
And you know how Todd is sometimes he kind of beats up on himself a little bit in a way that makes him seem like he's not confident, even though I think he really should be?
Can't relate to that.
He gave me such good, honest, straight, not hard, but honest and straight advice yesterday that I think has the potential to change a lot of shit for me. And it was awesome. But he was really honest. He treated me like somebody who could tolerate hearing the truth, and it was awesome. So basically, we've been going around with this, and he's been very kindly, sending me some notes and stuff. And I was like, hey, listen, if it's not a pain in the ass, is there any chance you would want to hop on a FaceTime real quick and just kind of let me try some things and you tell me how it looks? And so to cut this very long story short, he's like, yeah. He's like, so along the lines of, you got a lot going against you right now. And I was like, yeah,
yes.
Believe me, I know.
Yes.
And I was saying, mm-hmm. and I was so focused, if you like, on the lighting component that there's a lot I was overlooking.
Yes. Snaps for Todd. Full on JVN for Todd.
Yeah. So he says, well, so he texted me and I took a nap and woke up and read his text. And I was a little confused because he's like, go watch the Josh Gad Ghostbusters thing. And I was like, yeah, we watched that last night. And he's like, yeah, but like, notice. And it's the angle of how
like,
he's
watch
shooting
it.
And
yeah,
like what's
yeah.
behind him. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm not really getting this. So what I tried was, because apparently I'm so left brain that I can't understand words. I tried moving my gooseneck iPhone holder further to the right and shooting it at me at an angle. That's not what he meant.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I was
okay.
like, oh, is this better? He's like, no, here's the problem. He says, right now, the things you have going against you, have a mostly white wall behind you with no texture or sort of interest or objects to provide depth.
Yep.
You have it's going straight at your face, which will never not look like a mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other thing? He's like, the lighting's not really the problem. He's like, what if you go and look at anybody? And then he did a demo for me where he's like, okay, here's me with this, basically it's him at his desk with the Star Trek poster right behind him. He's mm-hmm. like, not that interesting, right? He's like, but if I go this way, and now I've got, even though that's still a straight shot, I have a whole bunch of room behind me mm-hmm. that's providing cues for depth. Or I could do this. And he turns such that he's basically just slightly off axis with the corner of the room. He's like, now there's all kinds of depth cues here and interesting stuff in the background. So the problem is that short depth with the boring wall, with the straight shot, all together, like you've got to break that up. And I was suddenly like slowly starting to get it. Oh, mm-hmm. You're saying there's got to be depth cues. There's got to be interesting stuff in the background. And I need to not worry about lights so much as creating an arrangement that doesn't make me look like I'm sitting in a school locker.
Yeah, I mean, that's also another OmniFocus project in itself with, that's a folder, and God, there's so much work to be done, or I have so much work to do. I can't even reference Hamilton anymore. That's where I am. Oh,
the orphanage!